الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنما المؤمنون إخوة فأصلحوا بين أخويكم واتقوا الله، صدق الله مولانا العظيم. Before coming to the subject that we want to discuss, just as a reminder for myself, for all of us, today is the day of Jumu'ah, and Jumu'ah is a very, very special day. In the Hadith Sharif it comes, it is an Eid more greater than the other two Eids also. How much preparation, anticipation we have for the other two Eids, we should have more than that for the day of Jumu'ah. And that will come really if we think of the day of Jumu'ah as the day of Jumu'ah, not as Friday. Friday, then it is like any other day. But Jumu'ah has got special connotations, that it's a special day. Like if Eid is on a Wednesday, and we say that Wednesday is coming. So Wednesday comes and goes, but Eid is coming. So it's a different thing. Ramzan is going to start on a Monday, for example. Now if we say Monday is coming, it doesn't mean much, but if you say Ramzan is starting or Eid is coming, it has great difference. So Allah make our thinking come more and more Islamic. All of us, we are born in this environment of these times in which the enemies have got the upper hand, and that is the environment they have created, and we are born in that environment and grow up in that environment. But as we become conscious, and Allah Ta'ala's fadl, through various means, some through the work of tabligh and da'wah, some through our parents, their piety, the madaris becoming alims, etc., whichever way, where there's an Islamic ethos, an Islamic way of system, then we should try and bring that more and more into us. And every one of us, though we are born and we are living in that unfortunate environment, but we should try and become more and more conscious of our Islamic conviction and try and establish that in the world. For that, for example, each one of us should think that, am I making dua at least? Dua is such a thing that it is within our capacity and we can use it for an Islamic khilafat to be established. That is very, very important. One of the basic essentials that Islamic khilafat must be established, and each one of us is responsible for that. Not only the ulama, not only the prominent people, not only the religious people, but each and every one. But unfortunately, we don't even think about it. We don't make dua for an Islamic khilafat to be established, for jihad to become alive, which is part and parcel of our deen, where the effort is made on amal, which is absolutely necessary. And if we see, that is first, because in Makkah Sharif, that was really the effort on amal, building ourselves. And then jihad became for us in Medina Sharif. So that came later. But both of them complement one another. If a person only does amal, but he doesn't make any effort practical, then it won't be complete. It will have its effects, no doubt. And if a person only makes all the effort, jihad, etc., but no amal in his life, like no namaz, or if there is namaz, but there isn't the quality of namaz, then that also, so that is also absolutely essential. Anyway, so this day of Jumu'ah is a very, very special day. It is the king of the days of the week. And there are special amal. In one hadith sharif, Allah reward our Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, rahimahumullah, that he should emphasize on this. And he should illustrate it, that if a person does six amal, six actions which are so simple, so easy, on the day of Jumu'ah, then for every step that he takes to come for Jumu'ah Salah, he gets the reward of 1 year's ibadat. So for example, here from the body, if we took 100 steps and we did these 6 simple amal, we do them, then for every step, 100 years of ibadat is written down. Hazrat Mullah Ali Qari, Rahmatullah Ali, he writes that the most reward that is mentioned in any hadith is in this riwayat. And that this riwayat is 100% authentic also. It's not weak or anything like that. Though that is a whole discussion where the weak hadith are also acceptable, fully acceptable. So anyway, that is a different, so it isn't that also. It is a very strong riwayat. So we try, inshallah, every Jumu'ah, we try and practice upon this. The first is to take a bath and wear clean clothes. That, inshallah, every Muslim does. For Jumu'ah, that we take a bath, we wear clean clothes. Secondly, to come early to the masjid. And by early is meant before the imam stands up for the khutbah. By then, we should be within the masjid. Like now too, many of us, we do come early, but then we sit at the back. Eh? Those brothers there who are at the back there, if you all come in front, inshallah, come in front, inshallah. Who all of us try and always, as long as there is a place in the front surf, don't sit anywhere in the next surf. Always fill the masjid. And that also shows discipline of a people. If we all come and we just sit haphazardly. In fact, Hazrat Maulana Shah Abrarul Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, on one occasion, walked in the masjid. It was Zohar time. We were also present. We had gone to visit Hazrat. And we walked into the masjid. He walked into the masjid. And as he walked, he announced that when there is place in the first saf, to sit anywhere else is doing great harm to oneself. Because the amount of rewards that a person gets just by sitting in the first surf, he doesn't get it by sitting in the second surf or third surf. That is when there was place in the first surf. So we shouldn't, like for example, a person has got 10 million, 100 million rand to invest. Now instead of investing it in city center where his returns can be so much more greater, in a great profitable business, he goes and buys land in a jungle, in a desert, where it's a liability to him. It's nothing. Like that, this time, that is another subject on its own, time is so valuable. But just by making niyat of i'tikaf when we come in the masjid, this time that we spend in the masjid, half an hour, three quarter hour, 1 hour, whatever it is, every person, according to that, it becomes valuable. So we can gain so much just by these simple things. So the first thing is to bath and wear clean clothes. The second is to come as early as possible to the masjid. So how much earlier we can come? We should try and come. Thirdly, we should try and come walking. The riwayat says walking and that we don't take any conveyance. So we should try and come walking for Jummah. Fourthly, to sit as close as possible to the imam. That is another thing that is very important. We should try and sit in the first surf. And then fifthly, to listen attentively. Many times we just let our minds wander, but we should listen attentively. And sixthly, don't do anything useless. Like in the days of before when there were pebbles in the masjid, a person plays with the pebbles, for example. Or today he's playing with his glasses or with his watch or anything like that. Don't do anything useless, scratching unnecessarily, playing with one's beard. We should be very, very attentive. And in that, Allah, really, we are all very weak. May Allah give me tawfiq all. One king, Hazrat Mahmud Ghaznavi Rahmatullah Ali, who was a great, great king and very, very pious also. In one assembly of his with his ministers, making some mashura, some meeting he had, and one of the members of the assembly fixed up his kurta button or something like that, and he became very angry at him. And he told them, when we are having this mishra and your mind for it to go somewhere else, it's totally unacceptable. And this is the last time I'm giving you the warning. In future, if you do this, you don't come to the assembly anymore. So when we are in the presence of Allah, today commonly in namaz also, we are playing with the beard, we are scratching somewhere. So that should not, Allah Ta'ala protect us. And many times it is just unthought of, not that it is itching or something, but it has just become a habit. One common thing, Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq, that when we get up from ruku, a common thing is we pull our kurta down on the sides. And according to when our sheikh was here, and he stressed on this point, and he made inquiries from the muftis also, then some muftis' opinion is, if you use both hands at the same time to pull your kurta down, then your namaz breaks. It comes under amal-e kathir. So we should be very conscious of all these things. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, inshallah. And while the khutbah is carrying on, it should be treated just like the namaz. The adab of it is just like the namaz. Every day is 4 rakats namaz, zuhr we make. Jummah we make 2 rakats. And the 2 khutbahs are also in that same category of the ihtiram, the respect and honor that we should have of namaz. We should have of the khutbahs also. Namaz also, we don't understand Arabic, most of us. And even if we do understand, for the Zohar namaz is a silent namaz. We are not hearing anything, but our concentration must be full. Though it's a silent namaz, but our, so even if we don't understand the Arabic khutbah, but our concentration should be full. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, and to sit also in that way. MashaAllah, there are many brothers who sit in a way of respect even when the khutbah is being given. And that is what is required. So Allah give us tawfiq of these amal for the day of Jumu'ah and to get the maximum. And how many Jumu'ahs are left in our lives? How many have gone in ghaflat? Just like that Ramadan also, for example. Or this great month of Muharram. Though the first 10 days of Muharram, and just to reiterate and remind ourselves again, on one occasion, Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Mawlana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, asked his close people who were sitting with him that today is the first of Muharram or whatever date it was. Who of us made Isale Sawab for the Shuhada of Karbala? That is, those people who became Shaheed, what Hazrat Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And they were tricked into it. They were all 100% innocent. They were all mazloom. And how, in a very, very brutal way, how they were made shaheed. And from our side, if there are any people who do that, they do it in wrong ways. But to make Isale Sawab for the whole ummah, for everyone. In fact, our Shaykh, Rahmatullah Ali, on one occasion said that for Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam, we should try and read every day at least 2 rakats of namaz. Or read 3 times Surah Ikhlas. And make that sawab only for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Don't join other people. It is permissible. But only for Nabi alayhi wa sallam. Like that for all other great, great people. The shuhada'i Badr, the shuraka'i Badr. All who take place in the battle of Badr, Uhud, all Hamra'ul Asad. All the different, so many categories and so many great people. And when we make this, the sawab reaches there more faster than EFT also. Immediately, the sawab reaches there. And we get the duas in return. And if we get the duas of these great people, it will be so spiritual elevation for us, so great spiritual elevation for us. And just by us, 2 rakats namaz. And our 2 rakats namaz is 2 minutes. Should we, Allah give us tawfiq. There are, mashallah, brothers who their namazes are nice and long, proper namazes also. But whatever, we should make a read Quran Sharif, Durood Sharif, whatever, and make Isali Sahab. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, inshallah. So in this ayat kareema, Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ. All believers are brothers. We know of the unrest in our country, the marching, etc. And we all, generally people feared what could happen on the 30th of June, like it was at the time, or in 94, when the elections took place and the transition from the old decades and decades of the apartheid rule, and now came the other rule. People in the world were waiting for a bloodbath in South Africa. But just one person who told me, Allah knows how authentic it is, but it makes sense. He says that when Mandela went for a meeting to the UK, political meeting, one senior Muslim person of the UK met him there and asked him quietly off the record that the world was expecting a bloodbath in South Africa. How come that did not happen? So according to him, he says the reason for that was what Mandela told, the pedal jamaats that were walking, the effect of that. And now also, mashallah, Allah reward our brothers, they made effort of taking out pedal jamaat, etikaf, Surah Baqarah, all these amal, they have great effect. So alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala protected, but we should still be concerned. And we should not look at things only superficially, but let us try and look at it more deeply. So, yeah, at the moment, what we are thinking is just about the foreigners. And in fact, some of our own people says, yes, the foreigners should go back to their own country. Whereas we find in Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam's time, Medina Sharif, one other name of Medina Sharif, it came to be known as Darul Hijra, the place of the center for Hijrat. And people were making Hijrat from all parts of the world. Whoever accepted Islam, they had to come to Medina Sharif. So much so that Hazrat Salman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was a Far East Persian, but he also came to Medina Sharif. Suhaib was a Roman. He also came to Medina Sharif. Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu was a Habshi from Habasha, Africa. He also came to Medina Sharif. And people of Makkah Sharif, by and large, all who accepted Islam, all they came to Medina Sharif. Like that from all around, whoever accepted Islam. So this is, they were not treated as foreigners, how we take it as today. And in fact, the real way for Islam to spread is to take it what mu'akhat. Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam made, established an Islamic brotherhood. That these people who came from outside, they had no resources. They came empty-handed, we will say, only with the clothes on their body, we will say. That is all what they had. But Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam established a way. And people ask also, today one big question that comes about, there are many people who are accepting Islam, but after that, the follow-up is very difficult. To create for them an Islamic environment is very difficult. What did Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam do? He did not build a center where they can be trained, where they can be given courses on Islam, etc. But he joined them, he made them brothers with one of the Ansar of Medina. So one Muhajir brother, and with the Ansar brother, he paired them and made them brothers. Then this brother lived in that brother's house. And what was the main thing there? That he saw Islam practically. Everything. Though it was such that the Ansari brother offered him money, offered him so much so, that if he had two wives, he said, you choose one, I will divorce her. When she finishes her iddat, you can marry her. But they also were such, that's another thing again. Their nature was such that they said, Mubarak to you with everything you have got. You just show me the road to the bazaar of Medina Sharif and I will make my effort myself. And in that way they established themselves there. The people of Makkah Sharif by and large were business people. The Muslims of Medina Sharif, the Ansar, by and large were agriculture, farming people. They were doing farming. And these are also the two main sources that we should try and involve ourselves in. One is farming and one is business. The farmer feeds the nation. And that is, the food is very important. And the businessman sees practically to all the needs, different businesses, different needs of people. Those are the two basic things. The professions, etc. Once we were in one country, a foreign country, and a discussion with one brother, and it was Malaysia, and that brother told, don't you people in South Africa, this was perhaps in the 80s or 90s, early 90s, make the mistake we made here in Malaysia. He said, yeah, in Malaysia, we all went more into professions, becoming doctors, all professions, lawyers, etc. In the interim, the business center, we came out of it. Our parents were in business, but we went into profession. And then what happened? When the businesses now were empty, the Chinese came in. And the Chinese took over the business. And really the people who run the government of the country are not the parliamentarians, but the business people. They pull the strings from behind this at the moment. What this all violence, this marches, etc., is taking place, it is also from the from behind the scenes, from people who are instigating it from behind the scene. And so so the business people, they control the parliament. They make them do things what they want them to do. So therefore, if we stay in business, that is very, very important. And though this is a long subject on its own, but it has, it is a very simple, practical way of doing things. So that is very, very important. So anyway, so in Medina Sharif, Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam had paired them up and he established the Islamic city of Medina Sharif, from where Islam spread in the four corners in the world. So today we must not forget that also, that today whatever is coming, especially, and the attack really is not on foreigners, but it is on Islam and on Muslims. And we should be very, very concerned. And we should also realize that all Muslims, whoever we are, whatever country we belong to, whatever our complexion is, whatever our financial position is, anything, our closer ties are that of based on Islam. Those are the basic ties. There are more, Allah Ta'ala forgive us because of this Western influence that we are living under, this democracy and all these things. Our thinking is gone way out corrupt. More dearer than my blood brother, my blood father, mother, is my the person who is a Muslim. My Muslim brother, my Muslim father, my Muslim mother, they are more. Deeni relations are more stronger than what blood relations are also. And we see the examples in the lives of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala, where they gave preference to all the deeni aspects more than their blood relationship. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu's son says to him in a battle, you had come under my sword, but thinking of you as my father, I spared you. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, had you come under my sword, and I should have recognized you, because you were not a Muslim, I should have killed you in the battle. I shouldn't have thought it's my son. How can I kill my son? So this that spirit we have to try and develop. This Islamic spirit we have to try and develop. Unfortunately, we are very far from it. We can't even think of it today. the mu'ahat, the brotherhood which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had established, we can't think of it today also. This is what we have to try and bring within us. So Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, we should now not think, brothers are asking now, must we stop the itikaf in the masjid, etc., that now finished, that to that day that we were frightened for is gone, so it's over. No, not at all. Also, Allah give me tawfiq, all of us, the more frightening time is coming, and that is of the qabr, where we will be completely alone. Only our a'mal will be with us. What will be our condition in the qabr? And the qabr's life, we know for a fact, there are people in their qabr, 5,000, 8,000 years they are in their qabr. And only was our amal. So we shouldn't be like now it's all over or something. But we should be very concerned and realize who we are, what our responsibilities are, and that we are naqis, we are incomplete, we are far from incomplete also. We are way off the mark, where we should have been. And mashallah, there are ulama, mujahideen, who have written their experiences and that how they, for Islam, how they have sacrificed, and the true value of Islam and the true picture of Islam. Today, as here we sit on the mimbar and we talk also, and all flowery talks or whatever about Islam we are giving, people are talking, etc. But the real Islam of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and what Allah tabarak wa ta'ala wants from us, to give that the final sacrifices that we have to make, and how we have to live. One is the shaitani influence that is upon us. One brother writes, and he says that he's a revert from in his country, France. And he says that from the age of 12, it's just our culture, it's just our way of life, mixing with the opposite sex, and there's no limit to it, whatever happens. He says, I accepted Islam at the age of 16, and then that still comes back to me, over and over, it plagues me, and all that way of life, that culture, which is a natural culture of those people, those things come back to me. So that their way is completely, Islamic way is different completely. In the Hadith Sharif it comes that by the age of 7, that command your children to start making namaz. And by the age of 9, if they don't, then take the necessary remedial measures that they make namaz. Now, I ask myself that at the age of 9, did I even think about namaz? Did I even think to be regular with namaz? And a boy becomes baligh possibly by the age of 12. The fuqaha have accepted by the age of 12 you become baligh. If I ask myself whether I was regular with namaz by the age of 12, very, very few of us, hardly any one of us. So we have to become conscious, bring this Islamic way, and think that all these people, and what difficulties these poor foreigners are going through, lot of difficulties they are going through, and it's they are our brothers, they are our sisters. At places there, the woman where they are being kept, they are giving birth in those places. And many other aspects also. So they are going through difficulties. May Allah Ta'ala give us at least the least dua that we make. How many of us are making dua for these foreigners and what their plight is? At least the least we can do is make dua. MashaAllah, there are many brothers and organizations that are supporting them, helping them. And that all is to get them to get back to their countries. But what is required is much more than that. If it's just words that we are talking, may Allah Ta'ala forgive us and bring reality. And let us also be part, and the main thing at least, to make dua. May Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah. Subhanallah.